I'm on this series here called The God of the Second Chance. I want to kind of divert a little bit today and talk about something here that pertains to what our nation's going through as well, and give us some clues, some ideas here from God's Word. And how do we see violence diminish in America? How do we see violence diminish in America? Unless our eyes are totally shut and our ears are shut as well, we got to realize that violence is increasing in all the nations of the earth. And the good news is Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The exact opposite of violence is who Jesus really is. And so he's telling us by his Spirit, we are called as the Church of Christ here in America to be those who do our part to see that Jesus Christ is manifest, to bring forth a diminishing of violence, I believe, also in our nation. We're going to see how this can diminish and see also how God himself is concerned about violence, because back in the Old Testament, it says whenever God destroyed the earth by water, by flood, through Noah, he said he did that because violence filled the earth. So God's concerned about violence increasing. It grieves his heart to see violence increase, and God wants violence to be diminished. Now, God will never flood the earth again. We see rainbows all the time after rainfalls happen. As a covenant of promise, it'll never take place. But the Bible is very clear to us that in these last days, that violence will take place. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it says, Christ talks here about some of the signs of the end of the age where Jesus Christ comes back and parts the heavens. Now, way back in the 1970s, our churches that were full gospel churches, I'm sure Baptists, same thing as evangelicals, same thing. We talked about almost every single month the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, how Christ would come back any second. And that was 40 years ago. Christ has not come back yet. We're still seeing, though, the fulfilling of prophecies that are happening upon the earth. And one of the main reasons that Jesus Christ has not come back yet is the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every kindred, tribe, tongue, and language. Then the end will come. Satan never dictates when Jesus Christ comes back. No matter what the devil does on the earth, that does not dictate what God does himself in sending his son Jesus Christ back to the earth. Out of God's mercy and God's patience, he's waiting for that last person, that last tribe, to hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed to them before Jesus Christ comes back. I personally am glad that God's doing that. Amen? I'll tolerate a whole lot of junk on the earth myself to let more people come into God's kingdom, because eternity is forever, either in heaven or in hell, and God wants folks to go into heaven, not into hell. Amen? Not into lake of fire. So that's why he tarries and waits for us. So Matthew 24, verse 37, he gives us the signs of the end times, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, or the Son of God. So Noah's day was filled full of violence, and it grieved God's heart to see violence on the earth. As it was in Noah's day, so shall it be when Jesus Christ also comes back. And so the good news also is where sin abounds, the grace of God will much more abound. And so right in the midst of all the darkness around us, realize revival is also breaking out. In our nation, in nations around the world, the harvest is still being reaped by the millions every single month somewhere on the face of the earth. Amen? If you're living in Austin, Texas, it also means that God has brought you to Austin. You got to believe this, because the Bible says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. You got to believe that God puts you in Austin, Texas, or the surrounding areas in 2016 for such a time as this. God didn't bring you here to give you depression and fear and worry by the same things happening around us in a negative realm. He came to make you be a weapon of warfare to come against it in Jesus' name. He's releasing an end time anointing upon his people that they might be those who stand strong, not in fear and doubt and worry, but find themselves being overcomers in Jesus' name, to be a solution to all the folks around them who have fear and doubt and worry gripping their lives. Amen? So God made you to be here for such a time as this. Realize God put you in Austin to pray for our city, to believe God for our city, and to see this city become everything that God wants it to become in these last days. Do you believe that? Amen? We got to remind ourselves again that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight really is against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, demonic forces in high places. And so those have already been defeated by the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's up to us, the church, to take our stand and be those who speak out and pray out and bind and loose in Jesus' name, and see the enemy's desires come to nothing by the power of God's Spirit. Amen. God has done so many things, again, in the midst of wars and conflicts and even family things that are negative there. God has done so much to show himself mighty in the answering of prayer. How can we not be praying in this hour and season? Prayer avails much. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, God's word says in James, avails much. That word is true today as it was spoken 2,000 years ago. And so I encourage you guys, like God has spoken to us this morning, keep on praying in specific about things around us. Dallas, we know last week had that tragedy take place where five police officers lost their lives. The funerals took place the past few days as well. Dallas is actually a great spiritual city. There's probably two great belt buckle cities I know in America that are called Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Dallas, Texas, where there's great churches, great Bible schools, many, many godly, righteous people in those cities, and God will raise those places up there to be a beacon and a light, I believe, in a great way to the nations of the earth. We saw back in 1963 how JFK was actually killed there by assassination by Lee Harvey Oswald. That's over 40 years, 50 years ago. Now we see the same city, the same street, where five police officers are shot down. I believe 12 more were wounded. And we see again a smear coming against a city like this of violence right in our face on public TV and also shown around the world. Since we met here last Sunday morning, we saw 84 people at least getting killed in Nice, France by this guy that was a radical Muslim having a great big truck and plowing through a crowd for over 1 or 2 miles and killing and wounding hundreds of people. Then we saw a few days ago a coup take place in Turkey where almost 300 folks at least have been killed now in violence in that nation alone in Nice, France. Only 7 days has gone by and it's getting more and more commonplace. You say almost every day, you say, okay, when I watch the news today, what's going to pop up this time in mass killings and mass violence somewhere in the world or maybe right here in America as well? The main thing is God is telling us violence can be diminishing for those who will take and believe God to intervene and have his way among us. We're going to look at the Word of God this morning and see how we ourselves are responsible and we ourselves can help see a diminishing of violence take place in this nation in the days ahead if we'll do what God's Word says. Here's some observations. You might want to write these things down. Perhaps I'm going to give you three things today, then move on beyond that as well. We're going to pray at the end of the service also. We're going to pray that God again would use us for his grace and glory to see violence diminish in this city, in this nation, in Jesus' name. First thing to write down is this. There is an us and them. There really is an us and them. I'm not talking about the haves and have-nots. I'm not talking about the white people and the black or African-American people. I'm talking about the realm. There is a kingdom of God and a kingdom of darkness. There is an us and them. Those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior belong to the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God that exists all over the universe and also in the earth. Amen? Those who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior belong to the kingdom of darkness, and they have their minds, the Bible says, in enmity against everything that God stands for, like it or not. They cannot help themselves but do things and think things and act out in ways totally contrary to what God's Word stands for and all that God believes in and all of God's nature. So I'm saying God is telling us, first of all here, love the sinners but hate the sin. And I'm saying never ever take and start finding yourselves hating any group of people because sinners do, again, what sinners do best, they sin. Okay, so we cannot judge them, condemn them, or get mad at them for that. We got to realize our fight's not against them. It's against the sin that totally darkens their minds and keeps them from truth and light in their lives. So there really is an us and a them. Number two thing is this. Second thing is this. I also want to say about us and them, it's kind of like a cold front and a warm front coming together. Anytime that God's kingdom encounters the kingdom of darkness, there's going to be turbulence, okay? And so you bring these two things together here of light and darkness, there's going to be a fight every time. I told you guys last week, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence will take it by force. And that means Satan will have violence against us, we'll have violence against him. The good news is we win. Amen. We win and he loses. When the two things come together, the kingdom of darkness must always bow the knee to the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen. So number two thing is this. Jesus called us to be salt and be light. In this era of Judaism, when we wrote these words down 2,000 years ago, we all realize and understand that salt was used primarily as a preservative to keep things from dying and rotting and decaying. Now, some think the church is actually what's causing destruction in the nations. They believe that many Christians are full of hate speech and hate thought and hate actions. The opposite's totally the truth. The opposite of that is the church is actually bringing life and light and preservation to this nation. Our society would be rotting at the core if it was not for the light, the salt of the body of Christ in this country. Amen? Because wherever we are at, God's Spirit in us is also there. Whatever God's Spirit's at, darkness cannot take and abide in the same place as God's kingdom. And so we bring forth the things that preserve life and brings forth only good things by God's Spirit and by God's grace. You realize in revivals in times past, in great revivals, every place revival breaks out, crime diminishes. Violence goes backwards. Jails empty out. Bars close down. Drug addiction gets wiped out. Witches get saved or move out of the city. All things evil and dark move out and diminish wherever God's light shows up. I want revival, and I want God's presence, and I want God's Spirit. I don't want more of darkness in my city. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was so impressed. I went to a maximum security prison this last week in Franklin Colony by Palestine, Texas. And I saw there in the gymnasium, they call it the chapel. That gym was two times the size of our sanctuary. And all across the entire ceiling of that, of the walls here, along the top ceiling area there, was about 2 foot by 2 foot murals and paintings of Bible characters and Bible stories around the entire perimeter of that gymnasium chapel for that prison. On the front there by the platform, the whole back wall was full of a Christian mural. I think it was of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and so forth. They've had so many prisoners there getting saved, receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. They're calling it a move of God, a revival right there in the maximum security prison right here in Texas. And the good news is those prisoners that are receiving Christ as Savior are learning about electrical work and plumbing work and computer work. They're bettering themselves in every way in their lives, preparing to come back into society again and be a blessing and be an asset and be used by God with God's help. That's what God wants. Wherever there's light, darkness diminishes. God only does good for people who allow him to be the Lord of their lives. Amen? And so may God just increase also at that prison for those prisoners and across our nation as well, that captive audience, knowing more and more about who Christ is before they get out. Amen? Just like meat will rot, our societies also will rot without the kingdom of God. The only thing preserving us right now in America from nuclear warfare and mass disease and so forth is the body of Christ in this nation is salt. And they're preserving life and doing good things in this country. Amen? Hope you believe that. Also, light. Light is the other element here. Light's a revealer. Have you ever come home from a trip, a long vacation or an airplane trip at nighttime, and you laid your luggage down in the floor of your bedroom? And all the lights are off. You got to go to the bathroom or get up early in the morning perhaps. And all of a sudden you find yourself stubbing your toe or tripping over some luggage that is there in the dark. Well, guess what? The problem is not the luggage. The problem is the darkness. If you turn a light on, you'll see the luggage to go around it and to avoid it. God is saying don't curse the luggage. And don't curse things your foot stumbles over. Come against the darkness by exposing and bringing forth light that you might see what to go around and circumvent and go over in this hour and season. There's a whole lot of luggage all around us, a whole lot of moved furniture in the darkness all around us right now. And God is saying, quit attacking the furniture and the luggage. Start attacking the darkness by bringing forth the light in Jesus' name, okay? So I'm saying again, don't take and again, curse people or curse political parties or curse groups of individuals. Come against the powers of darkness that blind their eyes, and let the light of God come out there and remove that darkness at the speed of light with God's help. The problem, again, is not the luggage. It's the darkness. Jesus came before Pilate years ago before he died on the cross. And Pilate said to him, "Don't you realize I have the power to take your life or save your life?" And Jesus Christ said right back to him, "You would have no power whatsoever except my Father gave it to you." God has got us here also for such a time as this, just like Christ was there 2,000 years back. God has given us his power, his word, his authority, and he says, realize you are here for such a time as this in these last days. I believe our young folks here are not destined for backsliding and secularism and turning their backs upon Jesus Christ. They are here by the power and ordained will of God to be filled with God's Spirit, be full of light and be full of salt, be on fire for God, and lead their classmates and friends to Jesus Christ in these last days, and be salt and light upon the earth. Do you believe that? I'm saying don't curse our youth. Don't curse our children. Don't curse this nation. Let the light of God come out of your mouth. Speak life and know that life will bring forth life. And death brings forth death. And life brings death to death. When life comes out of your mouth, it causes light and salt to get loose upon our country. All right? Third thing, number three is this. I hate to even say this next one here because it sounds like a real negative confession. But I think unless we're totally blind to the fact of the world around us, this is true. Number three is this. It's going to get worse before it gets better. When it gets better, it's going to get real better because Jesus Christ will come back and make a new heavens and new earth. But the devil knows his time is short. And he has many disciples all over the world there with all kinds of ideas to bring mass destruction upon cities and nations before Jesus Christ comes back. One of the reasons for this is there's also not enough activated Christians yet doing the prayer movement and warfare that needs to be done to drive back what Satan's trying to do upon the earth. If our churches across our nation, they say right now that over 250 million people in America call themselves born-again believers in Jesus Christ. If those guys that are 250 million strong would just find a way to fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14, humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways and seek God's face and pray for God to have his way in our nation, he says himself, "I will turn and I will heal your land," says Jesus Christ, says God himself in this day and this hour. We need to get more Christians activated to be praying for our country, for our leaders, and for our nation in these last days. Amen? Because nothing is too hard for God. You'll find in the Bible, throughout the entire Bible, people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, even Israel and Judah, they had evil people all around them, but God put a hedge around them of protection and helped them be salt and light and protected and cared for and prosper right in the midst of darkness in their generation. And God changes not. No matter what you see around us in the world around us, I'm saying you can still be an overcomer, a victor, full of God's joy, God's anointing, and God's grace in these last days until Jesus Christ comes back. You believe that? I believe that. But the big picture is this. Revelation chapter 6 gives us more of the big picture prophetically where we're at today. I believe this. Verses 1 through 4 talks about the four seals, the four horsemen that was seen by John's revelation of Jesus Christ on Patmos, the island. And John the Revelator, the revelation guy, the prophet who sees what God reveals to him, he says, "Now I saw when the Lamb," capital L, which is Jesus Christ himself, "when I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse." Now the white horse always talks about God because Jesus Christ comes back on a white horse with a sword and a blazing eyes and so forth. So this is a good horse, a blessed horse. "He who sat on the horse had a bow. He had a crown." That was Jesus Christ himself, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "It was given to him as well. And he went out conquering and to conquer," is what he did, this first horse, one who was actually white. I believe myself personally, this seal was broken back in the 1970s or 60s in the whole world. As the body of Christ began to rally around the cry that says, again, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent taken by force, and spiritual warfare was loosed upon the nations. And we saw people binding and loosing and attacking Satan like never before on the face of the earth. All these seminars and all these mass meetings took place about how we are God's war club. We are God's mouthpiece. The anointing of God lives in us. We have authority over the powers of darkness. We can trample over upon snakes and serpents. All these warfare songs and messages came out and seminars across the earth in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 80s. I believe that seal was broken and that white horse came out, a conqueror bent on conquest. And we're seeing world harvest happening to this day because of this. Now number two seal gets broken. And it says here, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse came out, a fiery red went out. And it was granted to this one who sat upon this horse to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great, big, huge, massive sword. I personally believe prophetically this seal might have been broken on 2011 or 2001 on 9/11 when those two airplanes smacked into those twin towers and we saw the Pentagon go up in flames, part of it there from that other flaming wreckage and so forth, the 9/11 disaster. I kind of feel myself that could have been the day that fiery red horse came out and that seal was broken and peace was taken from the earth. Because from that day on, the world declared war against terrorism. And the war is still raging to this day. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. It gets bigger and bigger and more frequent every single month upon the earth. God is saying here, this seal, when it's opened up and when it comes out, will not be shut till Jesus Christ comes back once again. So the sad part of this is, if it's been broken and opened up to us, then violence will be on the earth and only get worse before Jesus Christ comes back. But that does not mean we can't do things ourselves to diminish violence in our cities, our neighborhoods, and our nation before Jesus Christ comes back. This talks about the whole world, not just Austin or not just your neighborhood, and we still have power over the rulers of darkness to make a difference in the earth in these last days. So long as the Spirit of God lives in us, we can affect the happenings on the earth. And I believe that. Amen. Psalm 23, verse 6 says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to talk now the rest of this message here about that word mercy. Because mercy also in some versions says your loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. In the actual Hebrew language, the word for mercy is the word hesed. And it means there again, is trying to be interesting in the English language here, it means God has an unfailing love, for he does things to people who don't deserve it, of loving kindness, of goodness, and of his mercies for people who don't deserve what God does. It appears hundreds of times in the Old Testament. And that word hesed is probably one of the most descriptive words of who God is in the entire Bible. God is a God of hesed. He's a God of loving kindness. He's a God of mercy. And his mercies are everlasting upon this earth and forevermore for eternity. You see that? It also is an attribute of you and I that are born again believers in Jesus Christ, because we are taking on the very nature and character of God ourselves. Perhaps no word is stronger than hesed or mercy in seeing violence diminish upon the face of the earth in America in Jesus' name. Okay? To the Jewish people, hesed is an act of kindness to a stranger. David said, your hesed, your mercies, will pursue me all the days of my life. Now, unlike the word agape, agape is a perfect kind of a God, unconditional love we give to folks unconditionally. Agape has no actions to that. Hesed means you must act. You must do something yourself. You must do something here to see mercies take place. It's not a very passive word. It's a very, very active word. You understand that? So God is saying his mercies are not to be set upon in your lazy boy recliner. They're to be actually get out there and put feet and put a mouth and put actions to what God says as far as mercy is concerned. Out of this can come tremendous healing to people in their lives. I want to give you guys again that same story. I get it, folks have been here for several years. If I saw mercy actually bring forth a powerful result before my face. Years ago back in Bible school, that day again when James Robinson preached that powerful message, we had a great pianist give an oratory there and played a solo on the piano, who's a world-renowned pianist. And Sister Lindsay had James Robinson there to speak that afternoon. He was right at that point a Baptist, a non-spirit-filled Baptist. She was trying to impress James Robinson by the CF&I praise team, by the musicians, by the mighty piano player, so forth and so on. And also there's a guy there that was watching who was actually an unbeliever, a non-Christian. This guy also was a world-renowned musician who played with Elton John, the Wings, of the Beatles, and so forth. This guy was there besides a man named Bob Mason, listening to all the things going on in that service that day. And so Sister Lindsay also knew he would be there and said, I want to do something to impress that young man to receive Christ as Savior, I hope, before this service is over this Sunday afternoon. The whole service goes on. James Robinson preaches his message. The altar call is given, and that man stays in his seat and does not come forward to receive Christ. But at the end of the service, going to his car outside, Bob Mason, the Christian, asked this man, did anything move you or touch you during the whole proceedings of that service here at CF&I today? And that man said, you know, I saw the people come to the front to receive Christ as Savior. I saw the altar call given. About 50 folks that day came to Christ after James Robinson gave his message. And that guy said, what touched me the most was Sister Lindsay, when one young lady in her 20s had a little newborn baby in her hands, she wanted to go to the front to answer the altar call, but she could not because she had a baby in her lap. I saw Sister Lindsay go clear across the auditorium and grab that little child and hold the child so the mom could be free to go up there and receive Christ as Savior. That touched me in that service. Not the piano playing, not the great praise and worship, not the word of God that came forth only. It was an act of mercy. A chesed brought to him almost tears to his eyes and a softening of his heart to receive Christ as Savior. And so I'm saying to you guys also, there's great healing and power by the chesed we do also upon the earth. Amen? So moving on here beyond this, it's a time for us also to show ourselves, to show chesed's, to show mercies to people around us who don't perhaps deserve that to take place in their lives. Many of you that are here this morning might have suffered injustice by different races of people. I don't know what it's like to be raised an African American in America. I can't imagine what African Americans have gone through that are now my age in their 50s, what they've seen take place for perhaps an injustice or prejudice, being pulled over by policemen sometimes unjustly years ago perhaps, or maybe more recently beyond that. What I do know and I want to say is we cannot take and pigeonhole a whole group of people, even among our police force, and judge 10,000 people for what one person does who's a bad apple. We've got 10,000 good policemen and one person who might do things the wrong way. And I'm saying don't clump the whole group together and say they're all like this, because they're not. Whether it be a black person, a Mexican person, an Indian person, it may not be a white person or an Asian person, don't clump them into a group. They are all individual humans under God's kingdom, under God's earth, and they all deserve equal love and equal chesed in Jesus' name. And I'm saying I myself, you guys, you perhaps yourselves have seen great injustice done by folks of different races, different socioeconomic platforms in the past, and I'm saying put those things behind you and don't judge a group of people today for what a few folks might have done years ago in your life. Amen? Revelations chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 say this. And they sang a new song, the redeemed who came to Christ's throne sang a new song. And they said, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. And you have made us kings and priests to to our God, and we shall reign on the earth forever and ever and ever. And God is saying every tongue, every tribe, every language, every ethnos will be there in heaven before the throne of God, giving praise to Him. We have no place to be prejudiced in this hour. Tree of Life Church is a very unique church in some ways, because I believe right now today, even today in 2016, Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the entire nation's map or calendar of the week. We have folks here from different nations, different ethnic groups, different races, different socioeconomic positions in life, and I praise God for that. Amen. We are the exception, not the rule. I'm saying, God bless you folks here who put differences behind you, who can come together with brothers and sisters in the bodies of Christ, no matter what color you are, background you've got, and still praise and worship the same God together, hand in hand, knowing it's His Spirit in us is what matters in our lives. Amen. So James is back to the platform to help me out here, James. I'm going to close in a moment here in prayer. I want to say that as these tragic things take place around us, one thing we cannot do as a church, we cannot take and spend time developing programs and committees and getting members together to fight every single crisis we see take place on the earth. You know, again, in a large church, a pastor I know about, he said that a crisis broke out years back in the city he was in. And a lady said, in our own church here, I'm seeing a poor person who needs groceries on their table. I know her name. I know her phone number. Why is your church not giving her any groceries? Yelling at the pastor's secretary, leadership in the church, why are you not giving this lady some groceries? The pastor said back to her in a very, very wise way, said, ma'am, do you have a car? She said, yes. Do you have enough money to buy one sack of groceries? She said, yes. Why aren't you going to the store yourself and buying that person some groceries for their house? Maybe God put that person on your heart to be a blessing to them. The church can't do every single thing, every need around them. That's why God says we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are salt and we are light. And I said to you guys last week, revelation equals responsibility. If God reveals a need to you, it may mean you're the need meter of that need. Amen. Not the church, not the leaders, not the pastor, not folks in the church. It might be God saying you are the source of the need being met. And so don't get mad first at folks around you. Say, God, you put it on my heart. What can I do to be salt and light upon the earth? As he plays here softly on this keyboard, helping us out for prayer in a moment, I want to say one last thing. It's more of a sobering story that's true, but it's sobering. This story is, again, a pastor who was in a taxi in Las Vegas at a convention. As he drove along from his hotel to where the convention was going to be at, his taxi driver was an Arabic man. And so he began to ask the pastor, who are you, what do you do, so forth, so on. He found out what the pastor did. So he said, well, I'm a Christian. I am from Saudi Arabia. I want you to listen to this video I just received a few days ago. It's a very recent video that he received only a few weeks back. And so he pulled his taxi over to the side of the street, assuming the pastor was not in any hurry at all. And he said he began to put this video on and began to translate Saudi Arabian language into English. And the most popular pastor or speaker in Saudi Arabia to the Muslim people, who has huge crowds following him, was saying these words: I want my Muslim brothers to find all the Christians and Jews they can and crush their heads and cut their bodies into pieces. Every Jew, every Christian you can find, the most popular speaker of Islam in Saudi Arabia, says that to tens of thousands, even millions of folks across his nation this day. I believe that seal has been broken and violence has been released upon this earth in big ways. But I also say that we are those who are the just who live by faith. And the fact is, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're already a dead man right now. Because I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Yet the worst thing you can do is cut my head off. then so be it. I'm going to see Jesus Christ the next second, and I'll have grace the day my head comes off, to get my head cut off. But until that happens, to live is Christ. To die is much better, but to live is Christ. What God is saying to you and I today is this word, this scripture, comes to us also very, very strongly. Jesus Christ said to us again, those who follow me must pick up their cross daily, must die daily, and realize this life is not all there is. He who seeks to save his life, he says, will lose it. Those who lose their lives for my sake and the kingdom will save it. What he actually was saying there was, those who try to hold on to all this world has to offer will lose the best of what God's kingdom has to offer. But those who lose this world's tantalizing seductions and pleasures for my kingdom's sake, they will gain the kingdom's best in the life to come. And on this earth, they will have my peace, my joy, and my righteousness. All their needs will be met. Matthew 6 takes place for them. And they'll find themselves living in the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. Not because of things and stuff and temporary pleasures, but because they seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. All these things will be added to them automatically that they need to have in their lives. Well, our heads are bowed right now and our eyes are closed today. We prayed this morning for our law enforcement officials. We're talking about how violence can diminish in our nation. And we ask you guys this morning, will you be a reconciler from this day forth in Jesus' name? Yes. Let me pray for them as well. Three officers ambushed and killed in Louisiana today. So I'm saying that there's this, whenever you say can release something like this in the spiritual realm, it tries to bring forth a multiplying effect. It tries to. So I'm going to ask you guys, if you're going to choose today to be reconcilers, it's important for us to really take prayer seriously on a daily basis. And I'm saying pray in specific. Pray for Austin, all the law enforcement officials across Williamson and Travis County. They are our responsibility. God put us here as salt and light in Travis and Williamson County in Jesus' name. Amen? Every day I'm praying. Almost every day I say, almost every day I'm praying. God, protect them. Watch over them. Watch over their families. Also, Father God, give them success in discovering crime and evil in our city. Help them find those involved in incest and child abuse and child pornography, human trafficking. Those that are smuggling drugs into our city, may they be discovered in Jesus' name and brought to justice. Those involved in rapes, murders, and acts of violence, I command you be found out in Jesus' name and cease your activities in the name of Jesus. So I'm not just praying for protection, defense only for my law enforcement official buddies. I'm praying for offense, that they will be successful in discovering criminal activities. I'm praying every day also, Taliban, ISIS, radical Muslims are discovered in their schemes and plots even before they can be perpetrated in Jesus' name. Every day, pray prayers like that. Pray specific prayers and see what God does to uncover the desires of Satan upon the earth. Amen? Also, will you begin praying tomorrow morning to be a reconciler, that violence will diminish in this nation in Jesus' name? How many folks will say with a hand in the air, I'll do that starting tomorrow morning. With God's grace and God's help, I will be a reconciler and a prayer warrior. Praise God for all you people whose hands are raised up. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you that you, O God, have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And Father, we pray today, O God, let our mouths be used as a trained instrument, because you are a conqueror bent on conquest. You are the rider of the white horse. You have given us, O God, power and authority over the powers and rules of darkness around us. No weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. No tongue that would rise up against us will prosper in Jesus' name. One thing Holy Spirit brings me right now also, it reminds you guys about, is this. You don't need to like the people that get put in office as our governors, mayors, or presidents, but you're commanded by God to still pray for them. In fact, evil people need prayer probably more or as much as righteous folks, because God can turn their hearts like a water course by His Spirit. Amen? You'll find that Paul the Apostle prayed for King Herod, the most evil king Israel ever saw. And Paul prayed for him every day. This guy was killing babies, murdering Christians, and Paul was praying for him. They need to be prayed for. I'm not saying pray that God would bless their efforts and actions. I'm saying God would direct their hearts and footsteps like a water course in the paths of righteousness in Jesus' name. So be praying for those leaders also. Father, so we say, O God, this day, we covenant. We will be those, O God, who learn your word, who dig out scriptures, who take time, O God, to take and be before your face, before your throne, O God, imploring you to intervene for this nation and for this city and for the nations of the earth. We pray right now for those ones who've lost their lives in Louisiana, that, oh God, that you would intervene for their families, their loved ones, their co-workers as well. Lord, that you bring forth your peace, your grace, your redemptive works only you can bring forth. We are now speaking in protection, God, upon all the law enforcement officials across this nation. We bind those thoughts of more death and more murder and more sensationalism. We rebuke those works and thoughts and demonic imaginations in the name of Jesus, and say they are utterly cast down in Jesus' name, and they come to nothing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God has called us to be salt and light and be those who see violence diminish in this nation. It won't take place by gun control alone. It's going to take a spiritual breakthrough and God working by His Spirit to bring it about. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Is anybody in this room here today praying for someone named Betty? Is there someone that anybody knows here? Just raise your hand up. Someone knows a Betty. You're praying for a Betty? A Betty. Anyone like praying that Betty's going through something in this prayer? All right. Well, I guess maybe I'll meet someone this week like that. That name came to me very strongly during praise and worship time. Everybody pray for a Betty back here in the back. Yes. What's wrong with her? So Betty's going through what we call a Kairos moment. They thought they saw breast cancer in her, and they said right now they're not seeing that. So for some reason, the Holy Spirit put a Betty to pray for a Betty today, that whatever it is the enemy wants to do in Betty's body is not going to happen, and God's will be accomplished. So let's pray right now for Betty. Father, we thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, Betty's body is healed. And we agree that cancer is gone. That cancer is cursed at the very root. It will not come back on her again in the name of Jesus. And all the cells, oh God, that have gone through stress or damage or even disease, those things be reversed and those cells be life-giving and be whole and be complete and be as God intends them to be on the face of this earth. We praise you, God, and thank you for your intervening work in Betty's life and body in Jesus' precious name. You want to tell Betty sometime that the Holy Spirit has brought her to us to pray for her. So God's going to do a miracle in her body. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's go ahead and have Jack come to the front again. Help us out to pray and dismiss us in prayer. If you guys can come back Wednesday night, it's going to be a great teaching here about wounded warriors. How does God heal those in the body of Christ who've gone through wounds or bruises from the past? Because our soulish man has been sometimes beaten up, but God has come forth to bring forth the balm of Gilead to give us wholeness and set us free. It's going to be a great teaching if you can come to that as well. Pick up for VBS donations is what? With Billy. Is that right? In the back here. So that's also in the back with Billy. And last of all, you folks who raise your hands for water baptism, make sure as you take and talk to Jack or one of us and see us about the address to go to at 5 o'clock for water baptism. Is there anybody else wants to get baptized in water? Anyone? All right. Well, God bless you folks that are here. Have a great rest of this week here. Keep on praying because your prayers do avail much. Amen. Thank you, Jack.
Hallelujah. There we are. Thank the Lord. Quick note, we do have Go Ye sign up again for discipleship. If you're just getting the Word of God from those that you love, from the pulpit and from radio, television, that's called getting fruit, and it's sweet and it helps you, but it has no real depth and substance to it. Not until you dig the Word of God out yourself and become discipled do you start becoming mature in the kingdom of God. That is what the Go Ye Discipleship course is about. My sign-up sheet is over there. If you want to partake of that, I'll be starting that class once we get enough folks. Okay? Father, we love you. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your revelation that you've given us this day. Father, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. And Father, I pray that your peace that passes all understanding will continue to guard our hearts and our minds. And that, in fact, Lord God, the very things that we heard today, that we would rise up in the Spirit and we would love the unlovable, that we would not walk in fear, but we would walk in the peace of the living God, because we know that it's the hope of mankind for those around us. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen.